In today's news headlines, President Donald Trump, in an interview in North Carolina on Wednesday, advised voters of the state to vote twice, a clearly illegal action. He said voters should send in their ballots by mail and then try to vote in person on top of that.
They'll go out and they'll vote, and they're going to have to go and check their vote by going to the poll and voting that way, because if it tabulates, then they won't be able to do that. So let them send it in and let them go vote. And if their system's as good as they say it is, then obviously they won't be able to vote. If it isn't tabulated, they'll be able to vote. So that's the way it is. But send in your ballots, send them in strong, whether it's solicited or unsolicited. The absentees are fine. We have to work to get them. You know, it means something. And you send them in, but you go to vote. And if they haven't counted it, you can vote. So that's the way I view it.
That's Trump on Wednesday advising people should vote twice and garnering widespread condemnation. Voting twice is a felony, and according to the New York Times, quote, constitutes the kind of voter fraud the president has railed against. On Thursday, Trump appeared to backtrack by saying on Twitter that people should only vote in person after mailing in their ballot if they cannot verify that their mail-in ballot was processed. He wrote, quote, go to your polling place to see whether or not your mail-in vote has been tabulated or counted. If it has, you will not be able to vote and the mail-in system worked properly. If it has not been counted, vote. Meanwhile, the nation's top law enforcement official, Attorney General William Barr, in a CNN interview with Wolf Blitzer, appeared unable to clarify the one-person, one-vote law that the nation is founded on.
It sounds like he's encouraging people to break the law and try to vote twice.
Well, I don't know exactly what he was saying, but it seems to me what he's saying is he's trying to make the point that the ability to monitor this system is not good. And if it was so good, if you tried to vote a second time, you would be caught if you voted in person.
That would be illegal if they did that. If somebody mailed in a ballot and then actually showed up to vote in person, that would be illegal.
I don't know what the law in the particular state says.
You can't vote twice.
Well, I don't know what the law in the particular state says and when that vote becomes final.
Is there any state that says you can vote twice?
Well, there's some, you know, maybe that you can change your vote up to a particular time. I don't know what the law
is,
so I'm not going to offer.
He was saying test
the
system.
Well, you know, what he's saying, why are you asking me what he's saying?
He doesn't believe in the mail-in voting. You're the Attorney General of the United States.
Why don't you? Yeah.
That's Attorney General William Barr claiming to be unaware of the fact that a basic rule of democracy is for a person to cast one vote per election and no more. Meanwhile, Trump, in a memo this week, announced that he would be cutting federal funding for Democratic-run cities, saying he was asking federal officials to identify, quote, anarchist jurisdictions. Elected officials slammed his move as petty and divisive. In other news, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden headed to Kenosha, Wisconsin on Thursday, 2 days after Trump's trip there. Biden called for the Kenosha police officers who shot Jacob Blake to be charged and said he planned to meet Blake's family. Trump's campaign manager Bill Stepien ascribed the president's lack of ethical boundaries to Biden, shockingly saying, quote, the president was there earlier in the week as a president of the United States. Vice President Biden is there today as a candidate, as a political candidate. This is not the time to be injecting politics into a really serious situation that president helped solve. In fact, Trump's trip to Kenosha resembled a massive government-sponsored, taxpayer-funded political campaign rally complete with MAGA signs. Not to mention that days earlier, he held the final day of the Republican National Convention at the White House, a staggering breach of ethics. On Thursday, nearly 100 former Republican lawmakers and officials signed a letter formally endorsing Biden for president. They included Rick Snyder, the former governor of Michigan, and Christine Todd Whitman, former governor of New Jersey, both Republicans. A recent Military Times poll has found enthusiasm for Trump falling among armed forces as well, with more than 41% saying they would pick Biden over 37% who would pick Trump. And dates and hosts for the presidential debates were just announced. Fox News host Chris Wallace will moderate the first debate, set to take place September 29th in Cleveland, Ohio. On October 15th, C-SPAN's Steve Scully will host a town hall-style debate in Miami, Florida. And on October 22nd, NBC host Kristen Welker will moderate the final Trump-Biden debate in Nashville, Tennessee. And claiming it wants to ensure there is no nefarious political activity ahead of the election, Facebook has just announced It will ban all new political ads in the final week before the election. The social media giant also claims it will flag, but not ban, any attempt by Trump's campaign to claim premature victory in the election. Police in Rochester, New York, were revealed in a recently released video of suffocating a naked black man named Daniel Prude to death. The gruesome recording shows Prude, who was apparently suffering from a mental health breakdown, in the middle of the street with no clothes on, being attacked by police. According to AP, quote, a group of police officers put a hood over his head, then pressed his face into the pavement for 2 minutes. He remained on life support for 7 days before being pronounced dead. His death, which took place in March, was ruled a homicide by asphyxiation. Protests erupted in the wake of the video's release this week. Meanwhile, activists in Louisville, Kentucky are marking 90 straight days of protests against the police killing of Breonna Taylor, in which no police officer has yet been charged. In Los Angeles, which has been roiled by the recent sheriff's shooting of a black man, video was released of deputies from LA Sheriff's Department fatally shooting Dijon Kizzi. Kizzi had been riding his bicycle when he was accosted, chased on foot, and then shot. Protests continued for 2 nights in a row since the shooting. Also in Los Angeles, prosecutors have begun dismissing cases that were built on Los Angeles Police Department lies about gang affiliations of black and brown suspects. The city had built a number of felony cases based on LAPD's falsified records of gang affiliations. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, in what appears to be yet another thinly veiled politicization of the coronavirus pandemic, announced to states that they should prepare to distribute a COVID-19 vaccine as early as November 1st, 2 days before the presidential race. States have neither the funding nor the infrastructure to do so. The nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, said of a potential vaccine, quote, it is conceivable that you could have it by October, though I don't think that that's likely. In financial news, the Labor Department's latest figures show that 833,000 people last week filed for unemployment benefits. But the department has changed the way it accounts for unemployment numbers, saying it is merely taking account of seasonal variations in the workforce. As per the old method of counting, 881,000 people filed for jobless benefits. And an additional 759,000 people applied for pandemic unemployment assistance. Finally, a federal appeals court has ruled as illegal the mass public surveillance by the National Security Agency that whistleblower Edward Snowden had revealed. The court found NSA's activities to be in violation of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. The ruling came 7 years after Snowden's explosive leaks of NSA surveillance that forced him to remain exiled in Russia. Snowden tweeted in response to the ruling, I never imagined that I would live to see our courts condemn the NSA's activities as unlawful and in the same ruling credit me for exposing them. A judge on the court pointed out that the mass surveillance program did not stop a single terrorist attack. And that does it for our news headlines.